Let's turn your Bible to 2 Chronicles tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. There are certain portions of the Bible that I really don't read through real closely. One of those is 1 Chronicles, the first 9 chapters where it has everybody begotten and so forth. And I can't remember all those names, but it always hits me as I look at those verses how marvelous our God is, that He cares about each of us, and that He has names recorded, and all of that. It's just astonishing to me. Our God is a tremendous God. I bought a video this last week, and it has to do with butterflies. I'm very much concerned to show it in Sunday school class, which I very rarely do that kind of thing, but magnificent little creature that God made, and the changes that it goes through. They likened the change of a caterpillar to a Model A driving down the road, driving into a garage, completely disassembling and melting, and reassembling and coming out a helicopter. That's basically what takes place. And yet there are those who say, well, that's evolution. By the way, if you don't get it right the first time, you don't get a second chance. If you mess up from a pupa to a butterfly, you're dead. And so, you know, I look at these things and I think, my goodness, what a marvelous God we have. How tremendous. I look at the scripture tonight, and as we read here, I'm going to read this chapter in its entirety, we find God going to some great detail to teach us, I believe, some very important things. And to me tonight, the real emphasis is how a man of God, a king, started out good. Pride got a hold of his life and messed it all up. So we're going to look here, chapter number 26, and starting verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father. Now he became king after his father had been killed by his own people. They did so because he had turned to the idols of the nations whom they conquered and was worshiping them. And so now they take his son Uzziah and make him king. Notice what he does. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. How many 16-year-olds? Let's go 15 through 17. How many 15, 16, 17-year-olds do we have? Put your hands up. All right. 4 or 5. Put your hand down there. Christina had her head. No, she was wiping her head. All right. What are there, 5 of you, 6 of you? Now, can you girls imagine? Can you imagine being made, well, you girls would be queen, over these people? I mean, can you imagine it? To me, that's just, it's mind-numbing. And yet we find that God did this, and he began to reign. Now let's notice it says in verse 4, and he did that which was what? Right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did, till he messed up too. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jephthah and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. So he's a B big guy. He is well known. He has done some tremendous things. Let's go on. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. By the way, that doesn't mean he wants to be a husband. That's talking about being a farmer, okay? Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. And the whole number of the chief, the fathers of the men, mighty men of valor, were 2,600. And under their hand was an army. Notice this, 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Notice verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests of the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shalt be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers. They buried him with his father in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he's a leper. And Jonathan, his son, raised in his stead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you might bless the preaching of it. God, we pray that you might give us understanding hearts, give us clarity in our minds, and Lord God, that through it we might understand eternal truth. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Uzziah, as we found in verse number 4, was a good king. We find in the next several verses that he had some tremendous accomplishments. In verse 5, it talks about that he had sought the Lord, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. We find that there were several cities of the Philistines in verse number 6, that he had destroyed. And so he went against some of the big enemies of Israel, and he destroys these Philistines in some of these cities. In verse number 9, if you look, we find that he built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, the valley gate, and at the turn of the wall, and fortified them. So what we find, he was one who took his armies out. They destroyed some cities, but we find also that he fortified Jerusalem. He made it strong against enemy attack. We find also in verse number 10 that he brought protection to the countryside as well and made it a place where they would be protected from their enemies. We find also in verse number 10 that he loved farming. And we find he had cattle. We find that he had vines, and he loved, it says, husbandry. We find also that he equipped an army of 307,500 men. I mean, can you imagine? This is an army about the size of much of Omaha. And we find also that there were 2,600 officers over these men. And so he had tremendous accomplishments in his life. But there's something that took place in verse number 16 that is very well worth our noticing. And that is, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. We find that as a result of his power, it turned into pride. You know, brethren, God can do marvelous things through us, but I look at our own country, and you know, God's blessed us marvelously, and we are able to defend our country well. But today, I fear people not looking to God for protection, but to our Army and our Navy, our Marines, the instruments of warfare, rather than to the God who is able to do what needs to be done. In years past in our nation, that was not so. Matter of fact, it hadn't been that long ago, in 2001, when everybody was praying and asking God's favor because we had been attacked. And so we find here his power turned to pride. And as a result of that, something really awful takes place. It says he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. As a result, he usurped the priest office. He went into a place and into a position that God did not give to him. This office of priest had been reserved for the generations of Aaron. Azariah, we find in chapter 6, at this time was the high priest. He was the one that executed the priest's office in the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. It tells us in that verse. The other priests, not of Aaron, but those who are of Levi. By the way, you have the Levites, and there's a subset within them who were of Aaron. So they were all Levites, but we had Aaron. They were the priests. And the Levites, they were men who were called to minister to the priests. They helped in the temple. They helped with the sacrifices. They helped with taking in of the tithes. They helped with all sorts of things with the temple, or with the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then with the temple. They were also ministers to the people. We find that they were men who would go and teach the people and show them the things of God. And we find also that they had a great deal to do with, I use the word performance, but it's the wrong word, with temple worship. I use performance because they were priests, they ministered to them, they ministered to people, and they ministered in performance of the temple. Basically, we find that they were men who were musicians in the temple. But not only musicians, they were porters. Now, a porter in the Word of God, we find, is basically a person who maintains security. We find that within this this great book right here. And so they were a security force, and they also served as musicians. I look at some of the times in Israel when certain things would take place, and they would have musicians located everywhere. It was like surround sound. And these people would play their instruments, they would sing, and they brought great, great, marvelous things in the matter of worship. These responsibilities were given by God specifically to the Levites. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8 says, "At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless his name unto this day." Well, let's backtrack just a little bit and go clear back to Egypt. In Egypt, we find that last contest that Moses had with Pharaoh is when he told the Israelites they were to take the blood of the lamb and apply it to their doorposts. The rest of those who did not do so, the firstborn, they were killed. But what God did at the Passover was really sanctify those who were under the blood into this priestly position. So the firstborn became one of the priests. But later God changed that simply to the Levites. In Numbers 3:12 it says, "And I behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine, for on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both men and beasts, mine they be. I am the Lord." And so what do we find here? We find that God had set up these priests. We find that they had different duties to accomplish. God had called Uzziah into the kingship. And yet we find he intruded into the priest's office. He went against the will of God. The Levite was to stand before the Lord, and he was not of the Levite. And so he committed a horrible crime. He's confronted by it, and as a result of that confrontation, he gets mad, and God brings leprosy upon him. He's taken out of the temple. By the way, at this point, when leprosy comes willingly, he's put in a several house. In other words, he is put into a quarantine away from people, and his son takes over in his place. All because when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Pride's a killer. It destroys us, and we all deal with it. I'm speaking to no one tonight that has not dealt with this sin of pride. It's amongst all of us. We deal with it constantly. Sometimes we recognize it. Sadly, many times we don't recognize it. But I want us to notice a few things about all of this. Number one, God chooses men to certain offices. God chooses men to certain offices. God brought Uzziah in to take the place of his father. He's made the king. But there's a high priest that God had appointed that came out of the loins of Aaron. And sometimes we look at these things, we think, well, that's not fair. By the way, this does not make anyone more important than anyone else. What it means is the position that God has placed you and I in makes us accountable for its duties. Whatever it is that God has given us, we become accountable unto God. Let me give you an illustration of that when it comes to the pastorate. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says this, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." There's an accounting that must be made. And that is true of all of us. In Old Testament days, some were potentates or kings, some were priests, some were prophets. Do you realize Jesus is all three? He was prophet, priest, and king. And so we had these different positions. In today's New Testament times, we find in Ephesians chapter 4 that there are also some positions that God places people in. It says in chapter 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. God has positions within his local church. Does that make that position more important? Does that make that person more important because God is placing them? What it does is make him more responsible. And any time we think, because we have a position, that we're better than anybody who doesn't, we have entered into the realm of Uzziah. And we are candidates for the judgment of God. God chooses men to certain offices. It is his choice. It is not ours to make this choice. God is sovereign, isn't that true? He overrules all things. And God knows how to choose the right man for the right job. And by the way, God has, if we can say it this way, a position for everybody. Now, it might not have a title within a church, but God has something He wants every one of us to do. Some are positions of authority. All others are positions of service. I find something marvelous in Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Do we understand something tonight? I am no better than you. You're no better than me. Whatever you or whatever I do, it is to be done to the glory of God. Amen? That's the purpose. We are to do it as unto the Lord. That makes your responsibility just as godly as mine. I have a little pet peeve in an area. I use it because I don't know how else to say it sometimes, but we often refer to people in full-time Christian ministry. Most of the time what we mean by that is the church is paying a salary. But realize tonight that we are all in full-time Christian ministry. It's all the time. And whatsoever you do, how many things do you do in a day? Whatsoever you do, do it how? Heartily as unto the Lord. Would that make dishes, washing dishes a little bit more important, ladies? Kids, would that make taking the garbage out a little bit more important? Do it heartily as unto the Lord. There's all kinds of chores that need to take place, to order in families, order in churches, and all of them are just as important. Matter of fact, the Lord talks about the body, and He talks about different parts of the body and how one is dependent upon another. I mean, think about it. If you didn't have a mouth, what good do the rest of your organs do? You got to eat to bring in fuel that's processed throughout all of the, I'll just use the general word, gut. And God takes that and gives us energy from it. And every part is vital. I remember for years they said, well, you know, people get appendicitis, rip that thing out, you know. It doesn't serve any purpose. And that's what they said for years. If you got tonsillitis, I was 3 years old. They took my tonsils out. But since that time, they found out tonsils have a purpose. They get inflamed. You know what they're doing? They are collecting bacteria. That's why they get inflamed. By the way, you know what the appendix basically is? Have you ever played pinball? You pull back the little thing and the ball comes down and you let that thing go. That appendix is down here and it's like one of the, this is crude, like when your intestine, small intestine goes into your large one, there's the appendix acting like a it does have some purpose. Can you get along without it? Yes, our body knows how to adapt. But God has, listen, I don't know how I got off on all that. He has positions of service. In the Old Testament, the priest, by the way, was one who pointed forward to our great high priest. And these men were those who stood between God and man. And I believe this particular sin is very significant because in this particular thing, we find, in essence, a rejection of who Jesus was to become, and that is our great high priest. For a man to choose shows that it isn't of grace. It's not God's choice. He, in essence, when we make the choice, is saying that He is a better way than God. That simply is not true. God's ways are past finding out. If you would turn over the book of Galatians for a few moments, Galatians chapter 1, book of Galatians and chapter 1. This large print Bible, I got to turn 10 pages for every one of others. I'll get there. Let's just read for a little ways. Paul, an apostle. Notice what it says, not of men, neither by man, but by who? Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Excuse me. And all the brethren which are with me under the church of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now notice verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called ye into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Excuse me. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There were some who entered into ministry that God hadn't called. They were perverting the gospel to these Galatians. Notice in verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's pretty heavy talk. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which he have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for neither received it of man, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is saying, God called me, God shared this with me, God gave me what I know, God gave me the message. It was not his choice to make, God makes the choice. Too often we find in our Bible colleges, mama called preachers, and daddy sent, it needs to be of God. It's interesting how many of those get called out in called, C-U-L-L, not called at, during the process. What is sad is that sometimes they make it into the pulpit ministry in places, and they were never called of God. But it's very important that that be so. So God chooses men to certain offices. Man's not to make this choice. This is God's deal. And when we get ahead of it, and we make the choice, there are serious consequences. Very serious consequences. Proverbs 16:18. Very simple verse says, pride goeth before destruction. Have you heard that verse? Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. What's he saying? Pride is going to end up being your destructive force. It always, always happens. In Habakkuk, he says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And we need to understand there are serious consequences. What took place with Uzziah? He was a great king. He'd done tremendous accomplishments. But we find he did something that was wrong. He stepped into an office that God did not call him to. God has places for every one of us. And we need to listen to the call of God, enter those places, and let God use us. Amen? And it's not our choice. There's a test that is given by our armed forces. If you were to go into the military, they give you this test. It's called ASVIB. I'm not sure what it all stands for. I forget the terminology. They will, if I ask, come to our school and give that to our juniors and seniors. There's no cost for it. And what they look at through that test is to find out what your aptitude is. In other words, what it looks like you would really excel at. The only problem with that is, it's not a matter that we choose what we excel at. We're to allow God to choose for us what he wants us to do. And I have found that oftentimes that God takes people and uses them in areas that they never, ever excelled in previously. You ever stop and think, why does God do that? Could it be that he wants the glory in your life? Could it be that God wants to show to a world that whatever takes place in their life has come from Him and not that person's ability. And so God, by the way, may take you out of your comfort zone for that which He wants you to do. I say to our young people tonight, listen to God's voice as to where He wants you to go. See, how do I know that? You'll know it. You'll know it. Let me put it in this context. Even before I was saved, I knew that God had one special woman for me. I didn't know who it was. For 2 or 3 years, I went on the dating buffet-style hunt. Date this one, date that one, the other thing. I got tired of it. One is, in those days, girls didn't pay for anything. They didn't know what Dutch treat was. And, I was stuck with all the bills. I later found out that behind my back, they would talk to their girlfriends and tell them what a dork I was. Well, I told the other guys what they were, so you know, it was even. But somehow I knew down inside, before I was even saved, that God had a special one for me. And I don't know what caused it. Honestly, I do not know. But I gave up dating, and I just wasn't interested in girls. And then I met Joetta. And our second date, I hadn't dated in a long time, asked her out, and I went and asked her out again the second date. I knew. And that was 52. Well, that was 52 years ago. We said yes. That was 54 years ago that that all happened. God's been good. So how do you know God's will? How do you know what He wants you to do? I kind of put it in the same realm. You'll know. The Bible talks about the office of the bishop. He that desireth the office of the bishop desireth a good thing. There's something about the position I hold that there's a desire that comes into your heart that only God can give you. I was told many times in Bible college, if I could be happy doing anything else, then I better go do it. They didn't want me around. And we were a small school, but they sought to weed out those who weren't called of God. There were various ways they did that. It was interesting. But God wants to use you, and God has a door for you to walk through, and let God show that to you. I don't care if you're 16 or 66. God's not done with us. He has areas for us to serve Him in. Amen? It's not ever over until it's over. God has a place. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I think everybody's standing here tonight. We got one sick who's working over there, one who's out in Colorado, so I think we're just going to stay put. Jasmine will come, and you got a prayer letter there, I'm assuming. And let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your marvelous Word. Thank You, Father, for the privilege to just know that You direct in the affairs of men. Help us, O God, to just be open under Your leadership, not to make those choices on our own, not based upon our own ideals and ideas, but allowing You to put us where You want. Lord, I pray that You would help us not then to be lifted up with pride because You've given us abilities, You've given us strengths, that we might realize that it's all of You and not of ourselves. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.